At the beginning of the service, I shared that the last three verses of a parashat, of a Torah reading, have a special name in Hebrew. It's called the maftir. The maftir is a portion that a bar or bat mitzvah, as a minimum, is required to say when they do their bar or bat mitzvah. Last night, Joe Simpkins and Stephanie Simpkins' daughter and her husband, Tom, that used to be here, a leader and an elder, had their first two do a joint, which is the first time we've seen that, a joint bar bat mitzvah, so they call it B'nai mitzvah in Philadelphia, and it was broadcasted to privately. So we were able to see it and see those kids that were born here. You know, I did the wedding, so they were born here and were part of our congregation until 2011. And so there were two people who, two of the kids, a boy and a girl, that both, one's 12, one's 13, so that did the prayers and did the reading of the Torah and the chanting. So it gave me an inspiration. I knew this was coming. And as I looked at the maftir for this week's parashat, Beshalach is the portion that contains the song at the sea and the crossing of the Red Sea. And the maftir for Beshalach is in Exodus 17. But then it turns out that there's another maftir that is very apropos, has a similar kind of thing in Deuteronomy 25 on Parashat Ki Tetzeh. So I entitled the message from Maftir to Maftir. So the first Maftir in Parashat Beshalach, this week's reading, verse 14 of chapter 17. Adonai said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book. Write this for a memorial in the book and rehearse it in the hearing of Joshua. For I will utterly blot out the memory of the Amalekites from under heaven. Verse 15, then Moses built an altar and called the name of the altar Adonai Nisi. Adonai Nisi, which can be translated as Adonai is my miracle. Nisi means miracle. My miracle, or a standard, or a banner. Adonai is my banner. Adonai is my standard. Adonai is my miracle. Verse 16, the last word of this parashat. Then he said, by the hand upon the throne of Adonai, Adonai will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. From maftir to maftir. Now we move towards the end of the Torah in Deuteronomy chapter 25. This, by the way, is the last thing that's read before the scripture that our worship leader pointed to when we prayed for the offerings. The last of 25, the beginning of 26 is what we read for the offering. The maftir of Parashat Ki Tetzeh, verse 17. Remember what Amalek did to you along the way as you came out from Egypt. Verse 18. How he happened upon you. Please mark those words. How he happened upon you along the way and attacked those of you in the rear. All the stragglers behind you when you were tired and weary. He did not fear God. Verse 19. Now when Adonai your God grants you rest from all the enemies surrounding you, in the land Adonai your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess. The last word. you are to blot out, you are to blot out the memory of Amalek from under the heavens. Do not forget. Well, here's the deal for us. This happened really as the children of Israel got ready to enter the promised land 40 years later. When they first cross over and are free, become are mikvah by the waters of the Red Sea, and they come as the nation before God for the first time, Amalek came and discomforted them. The book of Deuteronomy says that the way he attacked, he attacked the weak, the ones that were tired, the ones at the rear. So he came as a surprise attack and got imagine the women with their babies. Imagine the older men and women that can't keep up with the rest of them. Imagine those that were just getting a break from being in the front lines. All of those that were vulnerable at the rear end, he came and attacked and destroyed them. Okay? Then Joshua fought the Amalekites. Samuel directed Saul to fight the Amalekites. And other places appear, the Amalekites appear. But that seemed to be over there. What I'd like you to understand is that Amalek is fighting with us today. Since the maftir is the last word of a particular parsha, Adonai's last word to us in today's reading is that we are to remember. It says there, remember. We are to remember that he is in total opposition. He's in a continual war against Amalek. The Lord is. And to all that Amalek stands for. The recurring last word that appears then in another parashah on the same subject is that Adonai will eradicate Amalek. He will. It says so he would. But then he said, we are too. How are we today going to eradicate Amalek from our lives? You know, there should be no doubt left in our minds that as far as God is concerned, we cannot have any involvement with Amalek, right? Do you understand that? Like zero? Does everybody understand that the Lord said we're to have zero involvement with Amalek, right? Or am I reading this wrong? Well, okay. Before the rocks cry out. Okay, I like this to be, if you like, even a declaration. Can you agree with me? Can we declare that we are to have zero involvement with Amalek? Because that's what the Lord said. And we declare that in the name of Yeshua. We decree it and we declare it. Okay. So now, you know, I only have a couple paragraphs. So I don't have like pages and pages of what you committed to. I'd like to explain what we committed to. We have just experienced a 2-year period of great fear in this country, in our city, in our congregation, and everywhere. And with that fear came an accompanying questioning of whether or not Adonai is with us. Is he taking a nap? Did he go on vacation? Things are happening all around us. Some places worse. Did he decide that he doesn't want to go to Austria anymore? Has he decided that he has nothing to do with Down Under in Australia and New Zealand? Is the Lord through with California and New York City? Is done? No, it's over with. However, isn't it true that Adonai has indeed provided the ultimate victory for us in Messiah Yeshua over any notion of abandonment or chance? That word is in the what was translated in the Hebrew, happened upon, chance. We have an English word that's called happenstance. Let me read you what Yeshua said, Matthew 28:20. And remember, we know it this way, and lo, I am with you. Okay? And lo, I am with you always. Can you say that word with me? Always. Even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. It's translated in some place at the end of the world. So the Yeshua is going to be with us. He said so. Therefore, should we have any doubts about his presence in our lives? Should we have any doubt about his presence in our family? His presence in our congregation? The answer to that should be no. He is always with us. If we forget that, then we become doubtful. And then we verbalize that doubt. That's the problem. There is Amalek for you. Amalek is the forgetting of the Lord's power, the Lord's everything, and then yielding to doubt. To become doubtful is to become a descendant of Amalek. Now let me give you a little background so that you know that this is not, I didn't just make this up. Amalek is a descendant of Esau and represents falsehood. You can read that in breslov.org, BIRESLOV.org. Amalek represents falsehood and happenstance. What do you mean happenstance? This is how it was said to us in the Hebrew, in the Maftir today. How Amalek happened upon you. The word, Hebrew word there, karha. Happened by chance, just kind of out of nowhere showed up to attack the weak and the ones in the back. Amalek is a false notion that everything that happens to us is by chance or happenstance. Amalek is a false notion that anything and everything that happens to us believers, okay, we're not believers, then another person is in control. But we're in believers. We have become the descendants of Abraham, the children of God. And Yeshua is our brother and our Savior at the same time. Nothing by chance, because he's right here. He's right here with us all the time. Therefore, I want to say to us, we need to uproot complacency from our lives. Complacency and doubt, we need to uproot that from our lives. Another word that is used in this city, especially at the university, is the word apathy. Apathy, same kind of idea. Which is the idea that somehow Adonai is not attentive to the details of our lives. That he's just kind of taking a nap. He took a break. Oh, Lord, you know, this stuff is happening. Aren't you listening? Aren't you here? Aren't you going to do something? Maybe you've been tempted to exclaim that in the last 2 years. In Jewish writings, you read the following, quote, "The inner Amalek is unholy cynicism." Oh boy. That little voice inside of each of us that derides, belittles, and attacks truth and goodness. Our traditional tendency to mock people who act morally, to be cynical when we see altruism, to doubt our own or others' sincerity. These are the modern day Amalekites. They wage a lethal war against our soul. If we let it, cynicism can kill our every attempt to improve ourselves and smother any move towards refining our character and expressing our soul. Now, I believe that we sometimes find ourselves after a war that the last 2 years, like the children of Israel's war against Egypt and the deliverance at the Red Sea. And they're like tired. You know, it's like, wow. I mean, they want to have a party, but there's nothing in the tank. I think that we can relate. Let me say that in these last 2 years, we've been prone to flirt with ideas, philosophies, worldly concerns, and our own free will. Let me make some comments. We know what to do, we say. We know what to do. I have it all under control. I have it all under control. We say such things as, I do not give the Lord what he wants, but what I think he should get. We come face to face with the Word of God, but there's something else happening. I don't want to elaborate. Let the Holy Spirit elaborate in each one of us. What we're doing is we're flirting with Amalek. Why? Because Amalek is pleasant to our senses. We believe we're an enlightened society. We have been told such. We believe we have greater education. We have better ideas. The whole understanding is, I cannot learn from your experience, Rabbi. I am young. I need to go find those that are young with me. You have nothing to say to me, 72-year-old. I'm 30, 25. I'm 19, I'm 18. I cannot learn from your experience. I need my own experience. I must experience it myself. Furthermore, here's the attitude. You failed, but I'm not. I'm going to succeed where you fail. I'm going to succeed where your generation failed. I'm going to succeed where you parents fail. I will succeed where you elders of the congregation fail. I'm going to succeed. If we're not careful, all this can ultimately lead to a complete rejection of his instructions. And there's a consequence. The ultimate consequence is that we ourselves become rejected from him. So I'd like to move, now that I understand Amalek, now that I understand that at the end of a war, at the end of a period of intensity, we've had a period of 2 years of intensity, and there's a little bit of a lull right now, and there's this tendency to flirt with Amalekites and Amalekite ideas. But the Lord said, you, he quoted again from Deuteronomy 25, not only is he going to have war with Amalek from generation to generation, that's in Exodus, but in Deuteronomy 25, the last word, the last word. You are to blot the memory, even the thought of Amalek from under the heavens. Do not forget. Do not forget that you are to do that. Therefore, we in Kol Simcha, we accept the maftir. We accept God's word. And we in Kol Simcha are going to strive to remove, that is to blot out completely, any false notions of happenstance. And we're going to blot out any ideas that this is all by chance, that somehow the Lord is not involved, and therefore by chance or by the enemy. And we're also going to understand that a lot of what happens to us is a consequence of disobedience. Be not fooled. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, he will ultimately reap. And that more than what he sowed. The law of the harvest. You sow a potato and you get 100 potatoes from one plant. Even called 100-fold. Boy, we need to make sure that we are ready to make the decree. No more Amalek. No more Amalek. We are going to blot it out from our memory. We're going to remove this idea that everything's by chance. We're going to remove the idea that we're by ourselves and Yeshua doesn't care. We're going to remove that kind of idea away from our mind. There's no happenstance. Whatsoever happens to us, Yeshua is in control. Always, always, always. We are going to eradicate all notions of complacency. We're going to eradicate all notions of doubt. We're going to eradicate all notions of compromise. And we're going to eradicate all notions of apathy. Complacency, doubt, compromise, and apathy are the children of Amalek. The father of falsehood, according to the translation, okay? The father of falsehood and happenstance. No more. We're going to have a better idea. You know what the better idea is? What his word says about us. Our alternative and better idea is that I have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of my testimony about the blood of the Lamb, and because I do not love my own life even unto the death. This is one of the banner scriptures for the congregation. This is the better way. This is the better way. Stand with me and repeat it after me. And I, and say your name. And I, Tony, have overcome already Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Yeshua. The blood of the Lamb, Yeshua. By the words of my testimony about how the blood of the Lamb is working on me. And because I do not fear losing my life, okay, or loving my way, even if it costs me everything. I declare that as it is written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. This is the better way. Shabbat shalom.